بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is a discussion in the kitabs as to what is first, Talim or Tazkiyah. Those that say Talim is first, they say that Nubuwwat started commenced with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Say Talim is first. But then, it's one opinion. And I came across that opinion when I started thinking. Is this the preferred? Well, thought came to my mind. I haven't seen it in kitabs. So it's nice to see some kitab first. Alright. Iqra came first, right? But before Iqra, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَاوُ. That's what Tazkiyah, that was. That for approximately 6 months it carried on. Maname, Ru'ya Sadiqa, and then Tazkiyah, right? That was, I don't know, 6 months or even more than that. So, that's as far as the hadith is concerned. But for us to understand how it works, one is the giver and the other is the recipient. There's a giver and there's a recipient. So when there's a giver and there's a recipient, then how best will a thing be received? Now take a board. If it's blank, clear, then it receives best. It's clear, visible, understandable. You recognize it properly, right? When it's absolutely clear. And if there's marks all over that board, then is it clear? There's going to be problems. So the mind is the recipient, the receiver, right? So the seclusion and the skia, the soul forever, it clears the whole mind up from everything that is foreign. Everything that is ghayrullah, everything that is foreign, it clears the whole thing up. When it clears it up, now when the giver is giving, then what will be the reception now? Perfect. In your phone, for that matter, if there's noises, foreign noises, sounds coming in, how's the reception? And if everything is cleared out now, now the reception is beautiful. You understand it full, and you're clear, mind is quite at ease that you got it, and you got it full. So, what he could leave visual. There's dalil on this side, there's dalil on that side. Hubbiba ilayya al-khalaw. For a long period, in that seclusion, Nabi Sam had taken to seclusion, so long period. Then Iqra came. And this muhabbat ila al-khalaw, that liking for seclusion, it would seem that it was an inspiration because حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَوْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said مِلْتُ إِلَى الْخِلَى. He didn't say that. مِلْتُ إِلَى الْخِلَى. No, no. I did seclude myself. He said حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَى. So that was from Allah Ta'ala. That seclusion became like and became dear to him. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَوْ. For those that say that Iqra was first, they say, see, after Iqra, the first surah that came was Muddassir. And Muddassir is Qum fa'anzir. To give da'wat now. See, those that are in da'wat use this. Ikra, then da'wat. Why? Kun fa'anzir. So, kun fa'anzir is about da'wat, isn't it? Yeah. And then came muzammir. There's two kums. One is kun fa'anzir. And the other is kumil layl. So, kumil layl is tazkiyah, right? Kun fa'anzir is tabligh and da'wat, right? So, they say, no, after Ikra, and the first thing is da'wat. That's how they'll say it. But then there is kalam as to which surah was revealed first after Iqra. Was it Muzzammil or was it Muddassir? This kalam. Although many Mufassirin prefer that Muddassir came first, but there is a call that both came around the same time. We can't say now Muzzammil came first or Muddassir came first. So yesterday we were speaking about, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we were speaking about the need to rectify the yaqeen. The need to rectify the yaqeen. Right. It is a time, and the time has got a certain need. And then ulama of the time need to recognize the need of that time. You're in a time now, you're in a period, you have to recognize what is the need now. Like you see, Hazrat Hakim Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, right? He identified it with sensual glances, right? Wrong glances. So, if you look at his entire, possibly his whole life, then it was dedicated, get your eyes right. Because he may have seen that this became a big destroyer. And become a destroyer because the easy availability of pictures, people are not dressed correctly, right? And it's become like a culture. Immodest dressing became a culture, right? Common culture. So immodesty, immorality became like the norm, and modesty became like something alien. Isn't it a fact? Like to see a woman dressed without a scarf, without an ijar, that became like a norm. And to see a woman with a hijab, that became like abnormal. See? So how the whole thing has been reversed. Whereas, you know, the modesty and morality was in the kuffar also at a time. Someone showed some photos of women, 1910 and 1890 on the time. So the dresses are right to ankle length, no exaggeration. And many of them had some type of a scarf, kuffar or whatever, but they had some type of a scarf. Then that is are coming shorter. And I suppose because the human population has exploded, right? And there was shortage of cloth. So because of a shortage of cloth now, then they have to say, make ikram for this, and just shorten the dress, take out the scarf of it. So we make ikram for this. But then they start making too much of ikram. So Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah had identified it with immodesty and immorality. So his whole life he just spoke about this. Get this right, it will come right. Get this right, it will come right. Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah was before, he identified it with yaqeen ki kamzori. Right. That the words of Allah Ta'ala and the words of his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you take that with total yaqeen? If you want to take it with yaqeen, life is going to be simple. Now look at it, alright. Anybody that's here, right, or not here, someone is here, someone is not here, there may be one person here, maybe 1,000 people, over, right? I ask, in the house of Allah Ta'ala. That your great grandparents, right? Great grandparents. The woman did they attend school? Great grandparents. Any woman. Great, not your grand, but your great grand. Woman, right? Great grand, grannies, right? Some even the grand, and all great grand. The great grand ever go to school. Alright, that's one side of the story. Other side of the story is, although she didn't go to school, was she seen as someone deficient, backwards, or not given that level of recognition and respect? So she didn't go to school. She wasn't counted as someone backwards, right? And she was respected. When my father-in-law, Allah Bak, fill his grave with Noor, so when he used to see these girls now, they look at recipe books. So many cuisines they go now, Sheikh Sonia, that one there. So he used to say about his mother, right? That my mother, any dish she wanted, she prepared from her memory. She didn't look at a book. There's no need for referring to a book. She just knew it, all right. Dar Chawal Sonia, make samosa like bigger like this. She just got it from her memory, she got it. And you people are dependent on books. That reminds you of Imam Ghazali. No, King Imam Ghazali was Sayyid al-Qadr Jilani. So, in the old days now, so you had a lot of highway robberies. So, the caravan was attacked. So they took all, whatever the loot was, they took it. So he went to the leader of the robbers and said, see, you know, this books of mine is my life's effort, the cream of my effort, all my whole life's effort. This is gone. I'm totally useless. So the robber told him, what beautiful advice and counsel the robber gave. He says, what's the use of that knowledge that is in paper and not in the mind? Everybody gets to we took it away, tomorrow someone else can take it away. So the right thing is to preserve it in your heart. It's preserved in your heart, nobody can rob you. Well, now you shifted it into paper, today we took it away, and you at our mercy, tomorrow someone else can take it away. But if you had just planted into your heart deeply, then could anybody rob you? See, from that point onwards, I said, hey, no, I need to revisit this whole thing. So I was explaining this morning that how important it is to learn fiqh definitions. See, definitions, everything has got a definition. Understand the definition. Like zakat has got a definition, right? So it's about six things that are contained in that definition. One is male nami. Male nami means wealth that's got the potential of growth. Right? Potential of growth means like you got assets for resale. So doesn't it have a potential for growth? Right? Gold and silver, doesn't it have a potential for growth? You can trade, give and take. So it's got a potential for growth. It's what they call male nami. Right? So that's the first thing in a definition. Right? Second thing is this, that you have that amount, this threshold, right? Nisab, threshold you need to have. From the beginning to the end, there's a third definition. The beginning of the year, that means the zakatable year, to the end of the zakatable year. You must have the male namle, wealth that has got the potential for growth. Right? That's the third. Right? Then in the course of the year, that wealth of yours mustn't be totally used up. Say now, you had it at the beginning of the year. Right? You had, say, if the nisab, the threshold of zakat, say 5,000 rand. Started off in Ramadan. Ramadan you had 5,000 rand, right? You came to, say, Rabiul Awwal, got no money. Absolutely no money. Or you're in the arrears, you're in debts. Now you have to start off a nisab again. Because the money has evaporated, nothing but. So you have to start off again. But if it is that the nisab is gone, but you still have some cash, say 6,000 is the nisab, right? Threshold. But in the course of the year, say you are left with just 3,000. It's not totally evaporated, you got just half. So your zakatable year will be still the same. Start of Ramadan, so that your zakatable year will be Ramadan again. Because you had some amount of the threshold. It didn't get wiped out totally. See, that's the fourth point in this definition. Number five is this, that it is in excess of your needs and the needs of your obligatory dependents. Your needs and your obligatory dependents. Or it is in excess of your needs. But you know that your children need this. It's a genuine need, right? It's an essential. Right? So now you will not qualify to be a giver of zakat, because you got an amount, but that amount is required for yourself or for your dependent, right? But the example for that is you're living in a rented apartment, right? So you got 6,000 cash, but you have to pay the rental at the end of the month. That's at least 3,000. So now, have you got the zakat? You don't have the threshold. So you may have the, you got the cash, but that cash will get wiped out just now. Right? It's not wiped out, 3,000 will go, you're left with nothing. So it must be in excess of your essentials and the essentials of your dependents. Because your dependents are part of you. Allah made it an obligation. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That you are responsible for yourself and responsible for your dependents. So now, these are all approximately five or six pointers for the definition. In Arabic, you can show it very easily, simply. Right? But if you know these definitions well, then you don't get into a quandary. You know, a lot of masail can be extracted just by knowing these essentials. A lot of masail you can know. So you need to get the definitions right. So let's say, well, you are teaching fiqh now. Now make it a point, make it a niyat. Right? That you came across one word, look for the definition. And you can bring solutions to so many situations. So I was telling him, just now there was a situation where someone was talking about making wuzu, but making wuzu either with a wet towel or with a spray. So I told him, see, look at the definition again. What is the definition of washing? What is the definition of masa? Now if you know the definition, then you can find the answer very easily. Right? The definition of washing is al-isala. Isala means the water must be flowing. Apply the water and the water is flowing. That's called washing. Arabic ghasl. Right? And masa got another definition. Masa definition is al-isaba. Must touch. The wet hand must touch. So that's called masa. So if you know the definition, then lots of masa can come out. But now you didn't learn the definition, just in the masa now, it can become difficult. So I was explaining what Ismail just now. See the yaqeen comes right. And I say, you know, in every talk nowadays, I think, you know, from this Allah of Hubud, protect us. This little bit exercise that you went through, right? And the type of behavior that we saw looks like there was a crack in the iman, in the yaqeen. There was a crack in the yaqeen from the behavior of people. Right? So now, you want to shout them, no one will get it right. You have to again show the greatness of Allah that He is the doer. Germs and all that, not the doers. You know, just now, about 3 years ago, some doctor from Transvaal, so he wrote up. So he says that I'm a heart patient. And what is the position for me to be attending namaz with Jamaat? What is the position for me attending namaz in congregation? So I told him, see, I don't understand this thing here. And the reason why I don't understand this is this lot of contradictions. On account of the contradictions, I don't understand it. It's going to be wrong of me to say, no, just go with it. You got a problem, and you can be very easily affected because you got these type of complications. So very easily, you can contact this thing here. I could have answered him in that way. But I said, no. Let me tell him what I feel. What's in my mind, I'll tell him exactly. Then see, I don't understand this thing. Then you want to know why you don't understand it. Now you asked. If you ask, then I tell you. I'm not promoting something. One is to promote. I'm not promoting it. No. But I tell you why I don't understand it. You want to know why I don't understand it, I tell you. So I asked him, then you are married with children. So yeah. In this whole duration, was there some intimacy with the family? So yeah, a lot of times. So there was no virus then. See, all right. That was one case, right? Look at another scenario. It's a mother with a suckling child, right? So, each time that the child needs to feed, what the mother will do? Put on whole virus suit. Big one suit, put on the child on whole suit. Is she going to do that? That means, then will she be charged for culpable homicide? Will you? Right. There's a second complication I see, right? And the third one I show him, I'm going to tell you, but you will take it personally. But I'm telling you, personal experience, right? Personal experience, right? You will feel it, you will feel hurt about it. But if you allow me, I will tell you. Alright? Although I feel I will tell you. To me, it became like a paranoid, right? It became paranoid. And the proof of this paranoia is so evident, it's so clear, right? That many private hospitals had to shut down because of the doctors becoming paranoid. I know of hospitals that were shut down totally. Now, think about it, that can you put away sickness, say, for this whole period, sickness don't come. Sickness, heart attack don't come. Can you put it away? So, are you being compassionate towards that sick person? Are you showing compassion? Are you showing some sympathy, consideration? There's no compassion. Absolutely. This was after there was a case that came here. The man came here crying, absolutely tears. Had a second heart attack, but all the hospitals are shut down. Nobody wants to take cardiac. Nobody. Absolutely. Now, how the man felt? And I'm asking, all right, if you, Dr. Saab, if you was a cardiac specialist, if you had an attack there, then you receive the same treatment. No compassion, no love, absolute nothing. I can't do anything. I can't show you anything. See that? So same, this is the reason why I can't understand this thing here. The child that is suckling, someone will have to suckle that child. You can't say, you can't tell the virus to be selective now. Don't come to this area, please. In our intimacy, you don't jump in. You can't tell them. You can't be selective. Right? That's number three, right? Number four is, we're doing this ample distribution, right? By the grace of Allah, I think we did about 9,000, how much? 9,000, 10,000, really. Right? So, we covered about 100 black areas, right? In the 60 areas that we went, there's absolutely nothing. Everything's life is normal. Everything is absolutely normal. Life is carrying on, the streets, the roads, children, everybody is intermingling, everything is carrying on. So that means what it makes you think now. You got about 100, from 100 about 60, 70, everything is free. Everything, you can do anything. 30, there's some control, right? So it forces someone to think now, you know what, either it's a selective virus or either the law is only being applied to the people that are a little bit affluent. That's what it'll make you think. Or if it is something like that, then that person that is living in the rural area, doesn't he deserve all that compassion? Doesn't he deserve all the consideration, the love and the respect? Or is he something that is subhuman? Is he subhuman? That we just write him off now, if he dies, all right. Really, it's not fair. So, and I told the doctor all these things. He said, I got no words, sir. I'm shut. I got nothing. Because these are realities. But they didn't look at it like how I presented it before him. See, how I presented it before him, I had to show it to him in facts and figures. This is our observance. We went into these areas to do the hamper distribution. And this is our observation. So you can't say that it is hearsay. One is, you know, I just heard from this person and that person. Yeah, we went right into the depth to do the distribution. And this was our observation. Right. So what will you say there? So, we are talking about taqwa, right? This morning I spoke to him. So I spoke about the woman, right? Our great grannies, right? And all that is sitting, everybody sitting here, he'll bear testimony that none of them went to school, right? Right? But they were respected. They were understanding. They were not backwards. In fact, I know in our family, those women that didn't go to school at all, they were the most brilliant. Because everybody would be fair to them. Purani Sadi Che, I Karwano Che, Hajparajat. So they'll go and refer to them. Who Karwano, who Ni Karwano. Child getting married, going for Hajj, going for that, whatever. So they'll ask these women for advice when they're going to a marriage. So they were much more respected than those girls that came after and went to school. Those girls were not shown that respect, but this woman was shown. So now, what was now the secret of these old people, the secret of them was that their hearts were not contaminated with the secular education. There's no secular at all. You know, I said the recipient and the giver. So the recipient, to be at his best, he doesn't have to have any markings. There are no markings. So what I'm giving is taking full. But if the recipient has got already markings there, circular and Darwin, whatever he's got there, now you bring iman there. He said, but this now, how this work now? How does this work? You won't have reservation. You're talking to him about iman, yakin, nishwam, and Darwin. Now, won't he have reservation? Won't he have doubts? Or he'll just accept it clearly. One shot he'll accept it. He can't accept it. He's got reservation. He's got doubts. And how you answer this? And what will you say here? And where this thing came from? Big Bang, where it came from? In fact, I was thinking of the Big Bang, right? And they say it was a bang, right? And everything just went in place. Sky went into place, earth came into the place, all that, right? Be it as it may, right? Now look how their own theory is contradicting. But they said first the Big Bang, and then everything went into place. Sky, earth, everything went into place. But now, if you go and look at the scientific research, according to them, there is no existence of sky. So where that Big Bang came from? They say there's no existence of sky. Well, the color that we see is because of some gases out there. The gases make it look, make it seem as though it's blue, right? That's the finish, like how you're looking at the sea from a distance, it may give a blue finish. So because of some gases, whatever effect, and from a distance, it'll give it a green or a blue finish. But that's not the color of the water, but that's the effect that is given. So similar here. So, but you don't believe in the existence of a sky. So when you said now that there's a Big Bang and the sky went in this place, then where did the sky come from? When you say there's no sky, where did the sky come from? So now, these people have got these markings in their hearts. When they got these markings in their hearts, then you're giving them iman yakin. I ask you, will they have doubts or not? Will they have doubts? Will they have reservations? So you're complicating this woman. When this woman's minds are complicated, there'll be mothers in a few years. What's going to happen to the children? It'll be a bigger complication. They'll be complicated, they'll be confused, and they'll add to the confusion of the innocent, masoom children. But those children didn't deserve all this thing. And now you went and taught them this thing, and now they say, hey, this is one side, this is the other side now, I know what to do. So, in the past, the markings that the woman had was مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That was the marking. You have taqwa, Allah will see to you. All your needs, He will see to you. Dunya, akhirat, everything Allah will see to you. Exit. He will see to you and He will provide for you. From sources you can't imagine, He'll provide for you. But you just have taqwa. You have taqwa, trust in Him, rely on Him, put your trust. He will see to the rest. That's His promise. So they went with that. This woman in the past now, 60, 70 years ago, they went with that. All we need to do is see that we don't cross the lines with Allah. Allah said, this is, we won't do it. No matter who says what after that. But we're not going to do it. My one foy, Sabine about 70 years ago, right? So, she was not feeling well, and a doctor visited her. So it was the old Randall's Road home. So the doctor insisted that she'll have to be hospitalized, otherwise she will lose her life, or the child that she's expecting will lose her life. So the old woman that was in the house that day said, see, you want to treat, administer treatment, you treat it here. This woman is not going to go to the hospital. Come what may, this woman is not going to go to the hospital. See that yakin. They know now, in a hospital, that level of parda won't be there. That level of modesty won't be there. They can't exercise that level. And here it's under control, because if the doctor is there, there's five women with him. So he can't interfere, can't do anything, can't even talk. And tell me now, in a private or in a government sector, the doctors don't do their own thing. In a private sector or in a public sector, they're doing something else. This woman, they're taking a chance. But now at home, there's five women and he's treating, all right. Checking the pulse, or what's the problem, administering. There's no chance. Right. By the grace of Allah, she recovered and it was a normal delivery. Right. Both lived to become good mothers and grannies, and both went away after that. The child was expected, the child was 74 years of age, that thing went away, and the mother also before that. But both lived. Now, how convincing that person was. How convincing was that? She will lose the life, but now this came from the yaqeen. We mustn't break the law of Allah, come what may. The shame, that haya, whatever it is, we must maintain that. The rest of it, all right, whatever treatment we can administer, we apply that treatment. And after that, it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala to spare the life or to take the life is Allah Ta'ala. We cannot become so consumed by what the medicine has to say. No? Yes, we applied, but to a certain limit. Not that it is wahi. That came from the Asman, you know, this you have to do it like this, otherwise, no. We'll listen to you up to a certain point. Yes, unlimited obedience and submission is to Allah, unlimited. There's no limit to his obedience, there's no limit to his submission. What he said is unlimited. There's no commissions and no concessions. That is his obedience. So when they applied the verse, right, the yaqeen was right. When the yaqeen was right, they became respected. Right. They became honored. They became reference points. Right. But they didn't go with the secular. They went with this. Allah Pak showed them that respect. Atinahu fawabahu fi dunya. Atinahu ajrahu fi dunya. Atinahu ajrahu. The reward we give, bless them even in this world. So that's what I'm saying. Nowadays, when we're giving talks, right? Whatever the topic may be, zakat, whatever, but give a 2-3 minutes slot just in iman and yaqeen. Iman and yaqeen. Because imagine now, man is giving his zakat, but his yaqeen is not right. His yaqeen is not right, and you ask him to give zakat. Will that zakat of his get full acceptance? His yaqeen is not right. His yaqeen is no, I must go to the bank and I must do some dandas there, you know, interest, all that, and then things will work out. His yaqeen is all in the haram, and then he's giving zakat. I ask you, will he get that acceptance? So, for his acceptance, his yaqeen has to be right. And the need to speak about yaqeen, now I see, like in every talk, something about yaqeen. Allah Pak does, it's His will. His command prevails over everything. Nobody can stop His will from being accomplished. Nobody can do that. He wishes it happen. I think it was about 1984. Not 84, but 85 or 86. So, madrasa has started then. It was about 89, yeah. Not 86, 89. Madrasa has already started. Here, Azad will, Zakir all started, right? And, because now there are quite a few boys going, so they had to hire kumbis. Right. Bobat had he is a reporter to this story. He told this story. Mawlana Bobat. You know, from Medina Sharif. So, now they were supposed to be collecting at a spot. I don't know if it's Mawlana Bobat's place or Mawlana Ilyas's father's place. That's where they were supposed to be collecting. So, all the boys jumped to Kumbi, one was left. Kumbi said, "Our time is up, we have to move." But they went on. Now, just about 10 minutes later, that boy came in. That's about 88, 89 somewhere, right? There's no phones anymore at that time. So that boy, now look at the yaqeen. What I'm admiring, the student, look at his yaqeen. All he told, was that just came on Musalla. And he started his namaz. He hardly made salam, and the Kumbi came back. See the yaqeen. Allah Baghdad, he makes it happen. But our problem is sometimes what happens? One, two times it happens, so Allah will make it happen. Then we don't cry, we don't ask. Again, istainu bisabri wa salah. Ask Allah Ta'ala. He'll make it happen. He made it happen, he'll make it happen. How he'll make it happen? That he knows. But Kumbi said, I forgot something, and he came back. Yeah, unka intizam to ho chuka. See how Allah works. So the level of yaqeen that Allah does, that must be instilled into us, into our minds, our children, keep thinking that. Otherwise, see the Quran Sharif says, how beautiful this ayat. I think it's this ayat, we keep it at any time, any problem, any situation. In fact, in the day, time repeated about 15, 20, 30 times. Allah is saying, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ abda. First page of the 24th Sipara. Allah is saying, Am I not enough? Am I not enough? You're running around everywhere, but am I not enough? Imagine, you are generous, right? You see to your wife, children, all that, right? Everybody, you see to them nicely. All the needs are taken care of. Everything is done. But now, if your wife asks someone else for some assistance, how will you take it? How will you take it? You say the same thing. Am I not enough? I'm around here. I see all your needs. And why do you have to turn to someone else? You know, it's against your integrity, isn't it? Against your respect. So Allah Pak is saying the same thing. Alaysa Allahu bikafin. Is not Allah Pak sufficient for his sleep? You're running around everywhere. Any situation, but is Allah Pak, did he disappear from the scene? He's around. So Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. Is not Allah Pak sufficient for his slave? Is he not sufficient? And then he says, وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. What these people are doing, these enemies, what are they doing? They're frightening you with other things. Hey, this will happen, that will happen, and that will happen. Everything else. They're frightening you with all other things. But am I not sufficient? When was I not there for you? Which day was I not there for you? I was there for you at all times. Then now, small thing happens, and you run this way, that way, every way. So this ayat here must be repeated. Nowadays, must be repeated, thought about, repeated. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. And the other ayat must be in your mind. Ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidun binasiyatiha. Ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidun. No, every living creature is in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. It's in his hand, total control. So nobody can do anything. Not the jinnat, not the jinnat's grandfather can do anything. Can't do anything. The jinnat, you're worried about that thing. You just think, ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhizun binasiyatiha. It's in full control. Allah Pak is in control. Full control. Jadu's grandfather, uncle, whoever. But everything is Allah Pak's control. Ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidun binasiyatiha. Any creature, but it's the control of Allah Ta'ala. His will, it will happen. He doesn't will, nothing can happen. fun. Nothing. Nobody can make it happen. Finish. So this must be repeated. Repeated into us, into even our children nowadays. They are being frightened with so many things. Hey, this second thing and the third thing. And then if you tell them, at least Allah, think about it. Now, won't that be, besides correcting the yaqeen and iman, won't it be a confirmation, a reassurance for them? Allah is there for us. Isn't it a reassurance for them? Before I finish, there's one small story, you know. Al-Mawla Zafar Ahmad Saab, rahmatullahi alayh, he had gone for Hajj, maybe around 1930 somewhere. So around that time, Hijaz, there was a lot of poverty at the time, lots of poverty. So they were traveling from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara. They stopped over, like how you have, they call it a masturat. You stop over, you have some meals, and you go, right? So they stopped over at a point, maybe not far away from Madinah Munawwara, but they were all hungry. So let's wash up and all that, eat, and then we'll go. So they had their meals, whatever provisions they had, and they found a corner where the leftovers of the dastarkhan, leave it on one side, so ants all can eat that. Bones, whatever else. So as he was dusting the dastarkhan, they just hardly left, and they saw one young boy, he's coming to pick up all that, to eat all that. The child, the boy, 9, 10, 9, 8 years of age, looked bright, intelligent. But as he saw this, so he felt very affected. People living just around the Haram Sharif, 2-3 kilometers away from the Haram Sharif, and this is the abject poverty they are in, are very affected. So he asked, father is late and we are in constraints. So I was thinking, now what to do, alright? For the time being, we can see to him now. But now, in the long term, what to do for this family? He's got his mind thinking. So he says to this child, alright, you know what? Can't we, you are a team now. Can't we take you, one or two of your young children, take them to India, we'll give you good food, we'll give you a house to live, we'll give you education, everything. You'll be so strong that you can come back. You'll be able to look after yourself and the whole family. So I said, alright, then ask my mother. My mother is alive, ask her. Mother is agreed. Alright. My child will be educated, India, he'll have a home, he'll be taken care of. Right. So the child sees, looks at Mulan again, and he says, alright, you see, you know, all these foods are available. These foods that we eat here, it's available there. So yeah, even more you'll get. Everything is available. Now the young child, 8-9 years old child, he asks, but do you have a Roza Mubarak there? Riyazul Jannah. See, spirit of muhabbat. That's what I'm saying. See, their hearts had no markings. The yaqeen and the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so great. So the child is saying, you see, wherever I am in constraints, this is the point we get the greatest satisfaction. And if I am to go away from here, where will I find this? You can offer me all this material, but I won't get this thing here. So rather just leave me here. See that? So this, the need to strengthen yaqeen, muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala, for His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, The starter is, I say, we speak about it. And the second thing is, like nowadays, I say, it's like a faraz. You must have talim in the house. All the fazail kitabs. Fazail sadaqat. Fazail amal. Fazail durood sharif. In the week you rotate, one day this, one day that. Then Sirat al-Mustafa. Then 1-2 days, best is ever. So the masail, they know who's the Nabi. Right? It must be like an important session. Not just by the way, no. Not by the way. Important session. Like that article you read 2 days ago. No. And inna nasa qad jama'u lakum. What an inspiring article. Full of iman. What the Muslim is supposed to be doing at any time. But it's so much of iman. But now if they are read properly and shared nicely with the children, not just kachra time, nicely, you read it before you could. Like, no, I think he reads it before he comes. What's a presentation research? I'm sure it's a well prepared thing. Not just going, just open the kitab, no, that thought. Study the thing, what is required. Bring it to the level of the child. Now he's got something to go to school. Come from school, come from madrasa, but he's got something in his mind. His iman won't be dented, won't be shaken up, inshallah. Allah Tawfiq.